Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favorite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Insane in the Membrane. Well, this is a different one this week. I'll explain why in a minute. But firstly, as you know, admin. Everyone loves the admin bit. So we're going to do the admin first, get out of the way. Right? But it's important that we do this because we need you to get involved. So become a Patreon and watch our behind-the-scenes recording of this episode and many others. You get exclusive, videos. You get the episodes first before everybody else. So go to patreon.com/membrane podcast, bung us a couple of quid, and then that keeps us going. That's it. That's all you got to do. You know, a couple of quid, you don't even notice it's coming out your bank. You know, just bung it this way. We'll take good care of it. You get a decent podcast in return. What's not to love? So do that for us. That'd be fantastic. And thank you again to our messages that we get from everybody. Really appreciate that. Thank you. Your continued support does not go unnoticed. All the messages I get from everybody after each episode is really gratefully received. It's really nice to know that there's people out there listening and enjoying it and getting stuff from it. Thank you so much. Check out our stylish Insane in the Membrane t-shirts. All manner of colours now. We've also got the Insane in the Membrane coffee beans from Wogan Coffee in Bristol. Use the exclusive Membrane listener promo code Membrane, that's one word, for 10% off of our podcast packs. It's great, it's good coffee actually, it's really nice. It's our own special blend. I think the producer Paul had something in that, had something to say in that. It's very nice too, delicious. You can get all of this, you'll find all of these on our link tree in my socials and on the episode description. So in my socials, like on Instagram, Twitter and all sorts, you can see the link tree. It's just one link and that will take you to everything that you see, like my website with all my list of gigs, all of our merch, everything that we do, all sorts are on there. You can see it all there, one click of the link and you'll see everything that we do. So do that for us. That's the link tree on all of our socials. So I hope all of you are well. I hope you're good. The other week I had a drive down to Exeter. I was gigging down there. Lovely gig down in Exeter, it was wonderful. And I've got a lot of love for the West Country. Every time I'm down there, it just feels like I'm on holiday, because that's where we used to go all the time. And ended up going to Glastonbury to have a wander around the town. I found a brilliant live Roxy Music album on vinyl. Really cool, it was only a couple of quid. Brilliant, I'm well chuffed with that. Then I went up Glastonbury Tour, and I was up Glastonbury Tour, and I was listening to Screaming Trees. Not listened to them in years, because I've been reading Mark Lanigan's book, Sing Backwards and Weep. I've just been getting into it because unfortunately, you know, sadly, Mark Lanigan passed away recently. And it was edited by Mischa Schubelai, who was a guest on our podcast a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember that episode where I recorded it sat next to a canal. We had to, because we were outside, we had all manner of, like, it was a couple of interactions with some people because of what we were talking about, self-harm, and then this guy overhearing us felt a bit triggered by it because he'd been dealing with a similar thing, so we had a bit of a thing with him. But it was a great episode, and the first time I met Mischa, I just fell in love with him. He's such a top dude, and I was familiar with his work through the stuff he did with Doug Stanhope and and just a dude. And I just wanted to say to him, like, mate, the book's brilliant, you know. And I'm sorry that Mark's no longer with us. And I know you two were buddies and you were close, and you know. And I see you got a podcast, and well done, man. It's really cool. And he got back. He went, yeah, do you want to come on? He goes, come on, come and be a guest. So this week's episode is me on Mishka's podcast, and it was such a great chat. I love the bloke dearly. So we just thought, right, a little bit of cross pollination. We put it out on his channels, put it on our channels. What's not to love? I just love talking to you. I love his voice. He's such a top dude. So yeah, coming up in a minute is my episode of Mishka Schubelai's podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
Rich.
Hey, man.
You big, beautiful hunk of man. I feel like you and I are both moving into our badger years.
Fuck yeah. It's the best years. Yeah. Yeah. You've got the right kind of outlook to the world. You know, you're just a bit more chilled than you were when you were younger, but you still got it going on. You know, you're interesting looking now.
You look amazing. I have to say that it's been a couple of years since I've seen you. If I was walking down the street and you were like, come down the alley here, there's something I need to show you. I would be like, fuck it. All right, let's do this. You know, like I'll take the chance.
That's a huge compliment, man. Thank you. Same with you. It's one of those, like we've said this before, we only met once. We met in Reading, in rainy Reading years ago.
Yep.
And I just clicked with you. I just felt something. And you were just always, just somewhere in my mind, somewhere, just like rattling around somewhere, you know? Always knew I was going to see you again.
One of the things for me, the first time I saw you perform was that I saw your onstage persona feather perfectly into who you were offstage. That in your comedy, you're very, you're sharp, you're authentic, it's engaging. You're not just broadcasting to the audience. You know, it's not about me, it's about us.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, man, there's so much hierarchy shit when it comes to comedy and live performing of, what are your credits? Oh, you have representation or not? Where are you in the lineup? All that stuff. And when we were talking and hanging out, all that shit just immediately fell away. And we were just a couple of dudes talking about the shit that we love.
Yeah, man. And that's what I love. This, like you say, the bullshit in the industries that we find ourselves in. I just want to do what I do. I want to just rock up. I want to make people laugh. And I love doing what I do. It's just all the bullshit and the egos that you have to deal with. They're the things that get me down. The actual doing the thing is fucking great. And then I get to meet people like you. And then when I meet people like you, it reminds me of why I do this. Ah, yeah, because I would never have met someone who is out in Arizona, probably, if I didn't do comedy. Do you know what I mean? It's a spectacular thing.
It's a double-edged sword, though, because comedy and touring and making a living as a performer, you know, there's that great Oscar Wilde quote of, you know, we're actors, we're the opposite of people. You know, it's taxing on you in every respect. It's physically taxing, mentally taxing, emotionally taxing. We don't make any fucking money. Then every time you try to walk away, you're like, oh, but when's the next time I'm going to see Rich if I don't do this? Or remember that time I was hanging out with Glenn Wohl and we laughed so hard, like I thought I shit my pants, you know, and I know so many people like that. And you know, so many people like that it's kind of like an abusive relationship, you know, where every once in a while you just have this like perfect evening. But the thing about comedy is that comedy itself is perfect when it's working. When you're standing on stage and you're spilling your fancy little ideas into the microphone and it's reaching people and they're plugged in, there's nothing better.
When you hit that just, flow state, man.
Yeah. It's just everything around it, this cocoon of horseshit and poison.
Yeah, and it ruins it. And it is there is that thing about the tortured artist. You see like people like Bukowski and they're pictured in the, like you imagine them just sat in this dirty apartment somewhere with just a table and a candle, and he's coming out with all these wonderful words. But we almost romanticize that, you know, those kind of lives. But when you're living that life, you're living out of your car. When you're sleeping in your car between gigs and not only are you in your car, you still have to make money to be able to have the car in the first place. Keep it on the road, keep it going. So when you think back, when you look at that in the romantic side of Bukowski and other huge writers like that, the reality is fucking hard. It's hard. And there is a romanticism to it, but also it's fucking hard when you're like, I've got this amount of money that's going to have to get me fuel for the vehicle to get me to my next gig. It's going to have to get me fed. I also have to keep a bit back for bills when I'm back home. Yeah, you know, that's the reality, and it ruins it sometimes. You just got to keep reminding yourself why you do it.
When I was the whole hashtag van life thing drives me nuts, because when I was 25 or 26, I was living out of a little Toyota minivan, and I would wake up really hungover every morning and, you know, like take the curtains down and drive out of whatever Walmart or Hardee's parking lot I parked in, drive a couple of hours and then stop and take a nap. And I would like crawl up into my bunk in the back. And then when I would wake up, the roof of the van was like 4 to 6 inches from my nose. So I would just wake up and see the, like this, like baby blue, you know, fabric. And I started thinking like, am I waking up in my coffin? And then I was like, no, cause that would be vastly preferable. If I woke up in my coffin, I wouldn't have fucking 4 more hours to drive to go and make $11, you know,
it's what I love though, is because when growing up, everything we knew about America was through the movies. And we might have talked about, you and I might have talked about this before, but to us, there's again, going back to that romanticism, there's an element of seeing you guys, when you guys talk about being road comics or musicians on the road, you're on the road. You're away from your home for days. You're out trekking across the America doing for days. It takes you days to get to a gig. Whereas in the UK, it makes me laugh when people refer to themselves as road comics. Where you're like, if you know what, if you pushed yourself, you could drive from one end to the other in a day.
I've done that. Absolutely done that.
Yeah, and it's different. There's no real, you're not pitching up in a motel somewhere. You're not in the middle of, I don't know. I always refer to, is it Bakersfield? That's always one for me.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, you're not in a town like that in the middle, and you're like, anything could happen to you in the next 8 hours. It isn't that. It's different. But I still love, I'd love to be doing it in your country.
Open invite whenever you want to come over here. I bought an old one of those old aluminum Airstream caravans over there, which is parked in my backyard now. And my that filthy old bag of bones I call my mom is in the process of refurbishing it. The style of interior decoration we have chosen is psychedelic granny.
Beautiful.
So that'll be done soon, and you are, you know, seriously welcome anytime. We do house shows here. I have a coffee table that I dragged out of the alley. That's yes. our stage, and it's really, dude, it's fucking awesome. Like the shows here are just I feel like putting the shows on here are my life's greatest work, more than writing songs or writing books or something. Like just sort of creating this space where we all hang out together. Everybody parties together, you know, random people will come here cause their favorite comic is, you know, coming through town and they've been following them on Twitter for 7 years or whatever. And, we all just hang, you know,
love that shit, man. That's what I love. And that's what it should be. There are moments when you gig with the right people and it goes from you're not just working. It's an event. It's a thing, and you're all in it together. And there's moments where you're kind of mucking around with each other whilst the other one's on stage. You're heckling each other and you're commenting, or like you're kind of calling back to things they said, and it's back and forth. And those moments only come along once in a while. So to hear that is what you do is, oh man, that's the dream. That is the dream.
It's sort of like, you're cooking or something, you're trying to get you're whisking the eggs or whipped cream or something like that. Like that moment where it starts to come together, where it starts to congeal, and you can sort of see it happening. You see people like loosening up. They've, you know, smoked weed or they've had enough drinks where they're going to start, you know, relaxing. And then, you know, by the end of the night, it's just like all of us hugging each other. Yeah. And like I had this great picture. I had Christine Levine and Kyle Pogue here, and Christine was on the couch, and we have this great picture of like Pogue and I tucking her in, you know, and she and I were on the road together for a while. And that's those things, like those road relationships, it's like a brother or a sister. It's like, it's like a parent, because there were nights when she looked after me and nights I looked after her, you know, that definitely like esprit de corps, you know, where you feel like you've gone through a battle together.
Oh yeah.
Just a level of closeness that's unmatched.
Yeah. There's been a couple. I remember doing a gig. We were in Wales and we traveled up. It took us like 3 or 4 hours to get there. We got there early. I was with another guy called Paul Peary, brilliant comic, Scottish comic. We got there early.
Where in Wales?
This would have been, it's a place called Blackwood, which is just up from Cardiff. So Cardiff being the main. So you're looking at, it's south, South Wales.
I used to do a gig in Milford Haven, which I think is.
Oh, that's west. Like, yeah, way out.
Way the fuck out.
Yeah. That's the other thing as well. People, again, I've just said you could drive from one end to the other in a day. But you're not. That's without any traffic. That's without any stops. It's still an effort. You still have to. And Milford Haven's way, way out. It's one of those. I remember doing a gig out that way, and I forgot my wallet, and I had to drive back on half a tank of gas. Just oh god, not going. I'd worked out what the speed I'd have to go. To get back to London. But I remember. So we got there early, and we went into this pub. And we're having a drink, and I just happened to glance behind the bar, and behind the bar where like bar snacks should be, like peanuts and things like that, pregnancy test kits up on the thing, and you got to ask the question. And I'm like, dude, why have you got that? What's going on there? And he said, oh well, you know, I keep getting caught with kids. I just went, what? Yeah, he goes, oh, I keep getting caught with kids. And it happens to a lot of guys around here. They keep getting caught with kids. And so I've got the pregnancy test kit. And I'm looking at Paul Peary, the other guy, and we're going, what the fuck? Is this some kind of pedophile ring that we've wandered into? And he went, oh, no. He goes, the women come down from the valleys and they're already pregnant. But you have sex with them and then they say it's yours. And that was happening a lot, apparently, in the town. And we were like, dude, you've got to change how you talk.
this is a phenomenal story, dude. This is the...
You guys, mate, you can't... The way you worded that, and I did say to you, I said, I thought you said you were a paedophile. He said, "Oh no, just
Wait, one of the things that I love about England, about Ireland, about Canada is that when you go far enough out into the sticks, it's like you're going back in time.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, and there will be the place where the guy comes in from milking the cow or, you know, whatever, the riding a horse to the bar.
The poacher comes in and he's got pheasants under his coat. He just chucks them on the bar. They're, yeah, they're set on my tab.
The next time I'm back in the UK, I will get us a gig in Milford Haven with pheasants on our rider. I do want to say this, though. Gigs there are fucking tough too, because I did like a whole run where I was just on the train for the entire thing, and I was traveling with my guitar and two cases, and it ended up being like 80 to 100 pounds of gear. Yeah. And so I would have to sort of, and the fucking, you know, and I bought, I was like staying in Elephant and Castle and bought like suitcases from the African vendors, and fucking wheels were falling off it, you know, and I had all my coins in one bag, and then I was dragging the bag long enough it wore a hole in the bottom, and then I was just leaving a trail of coins. Like, just comically, you know, I need the like stovepipe hat, you know, the like just a bindle, like an old fashioned hobo.
Yeah, like proper, that's a proper British thing. Just this weary traveler just dropping his coins everywhere. Just amazing, man.
I never introduced you. Let me give you a proper podcast intro. We just dropped right into it.
Straight in.
The Rich Wilson is a comedian and podcaster in the UK. We met once randomly at a gig and instantly became best friends forever.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons I wanted to have Rich on the podcast today is because I feel like his podcast, Insane in the Men Brain, has really threaded the needle, I think, with men's mental health. And it is a self-stated men's podcast, but it's not a chauvinist podcast or a misogynist podcast. It's about male vulnerability. And I just want to say thank you for doing that. And I'm a huge fucking fan. I think it's so smart. It's so funny. It's incredibly tender. And I think, I think it's so necessary right now. And honestly, if there's a canon of source materials for me starting this podcast, Insane in the Membrane is definitely part of the canon, because, that was one of the things of listening to some of the conversations that you had with people. I was like, I want to steal Rich's shit.
Mate, that's a huge compliment, man. Cause I'm such a huge fan of you, and seeing the things that you do and have done, and looking at your Instagram, when, like you mentioned, like you've got the trailer that you've just bought, and I see the cars that you've just bought, and the Ford Galaxy, and the thing, I'm like, the boy's living my life. I want, it's how I would want to live. I just love it. And so for you to say that to me is such a huge compliment, man. And I really appreciate that. And I think what we've done with the podcast is just taken the conversations that us guys have in bars and in the pub, and we've just recorded it. This is how a lot of men will talk to each other. We have to be doing something else. We can't be just sat like, right, let's talk about our feelings.
Yeah.
We have to be having a drink, or we have to be fixing something, or we have to be maybe watching a sports game, or we're watching a band, or we're doing something else. And that's just what it is. It's two guys in a bar having a conversation, and that's just where it came from.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing, is that that was one of my reasons for starting the podcast too, is because with COVID and lockdown, and then my own just fucking going down the well and not being able to get back out, I've isolated so much. And when's the last time you and I spoke voice to voice?
Dude, would have been
The last time we podcasted.
The last time we podcasted would have been that, and that would have been 3 years ago, before the world caught fire, and we sat by a canal, in London, and we just chatted, and it's funny actually because we listened back to some of it today, and there's that bit where we were talking about self harming, and a guy near us was kind of triggered by what we were saying and was going through a similar thing, and then he kind of wandered in and kind of went, hey, look, guys, it's just upsetting me a little bit. And then we kind of broke it off and chatted to him for a while.
Yeah.
And then we came back to it. But yeah, that was the last time that we chatted.
That was a great moment for me because this is one of the things I've been criticized for before. You know, people say that I'm hard on the homeless, you know, and that I have, you know, this sort of like gruff exterior when it comes to, you know, exchanges like that. And part of it comes from living out of my fucking van, you know, where I was literally one rung above those guys. So I was, I constantly had to be keeping an eye on them to make sure they weren't breaking into my van and stealing my shit, you know, when you're at that street level, you're in competition.
Yeah.
And I've carried so much of that with me. And in that exchange with that dude, I was ready to throw hands, you know, and that's not cool. And you weren't, and you were ready to come to him and say, let's talk about this. Even if we have to stop the podcast or pause the podcast or it interrupts our flow or whatever, like this guy's a human being just like we are. You know, he's got issues like we do. Let's fucking talk about it. And you schooled me righteously there, and thank you for that. I haven't forgotten about that.
Oh man, but it's just, the thing is, you know, there is. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some people that will come up to you and they'll say, "Oh, have you got any money? Can I have some change? Have some change." And there was a guy last night. Actually, I was on the way to a gig, and he came up, and I just looked at him, and his sneakers were. I know for a fact that his sneakers are £150. And I was like, fuck off, man. You sell your trainers then. You know, I could just tell that his whole, and the outfit matched. Everything about him was just, I get it, man. All right, you probably want to hit or do want to do something, but I'm not going to give, didn't have any money on me anyway, but I'm always weighing it up. You seem more like you want to just get drunk, which is fine. But I can't afford to fund that myself. I can't afford to get drunk myself. But I can't afford that. You've got, your trainers are more expensive than my first car. You know, it's that. But then you get other guys that come up. And you're like, oh yeah, there was a guy recently, and he was in a trash can, and he's going through, and you're like, oh yeah, that guy needs something, because if you're on that level, you know, you're gonna need, you do need some help, man. If you're at that point. But I'm always, everyone's got a story, so I'm never. Whenever anyone comes up, I'm never like, right, what are we doing? Are you attacking me? What are we doing? Because I've been lucky enough to never be on that level. So I don't really, do you know what I mean? Whereas you have, you've been to a point where your defenses are up. What you have around you is all you have around you. And this is your safe space. And you're like, right, at any moment, someone's going to come in and they're going to try and either, they're going to take something away, they're going to attack me and take what I have. So of course your defenses are up, and that comes from that life. That's why you're still on that kind of like ready to fucking go, man. I'm going, yeah, what are you doing? Whereas I've not had that life, so it's different for me. So yeah, to see that, and it's funny. I do worry some. I still worry that I'll end up out and homeless and have nothing. It's a thing.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm doing better now than like I ever have in my life. Mm. And I think more about money now than I ever have. And it sucks. It's like the Hobbit thing where you get the gold poisoning or whatever, where once you start getting a little bit, then you start, you know, worrying about, oh, you know, what if somebody takes it from me? It sucks. It's bullshit. I try to think about it as little as possible. You know, I mean, when I was publishing through Amazon, people were like, oh, you need to be tracking your specs. You need to be promoting more, seeing where this, you know, goes and this goes. And so I tried to do it. And then I was like, nah, the reason these stories are selling is because I'm the kind of guy who doesn't fucking track his, you know, yeah, do yeah, the yeah, spreadsheets yeah. and projections and all the algorithms and shit. No, here's a picture of my cat. Please buy the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then I'm going to go and you were talking about the cars and the camper and all the bullshit. The reason I wanted to get rolling early today is because a buddy of mine and I are driving down to Tucson to look at a 1970 Ford Falcon that's sitting in this kid's yard.
Listen to what you've just said. Now, to you, that's just an everyday thing. I'm going to go. I'm driving to Tucson. It's a place. It's there. And I'm going to go and look at an old car. Yeah, it's a cool car, but we're going to go and have a look at it. Over here, where I am at now, I'm like, I'm talking to someone like I'm in a movie. Like, we're driving to Tucson and we're going to look at an old Ford Falcon. And I'm like, I'd watch this film. This is what I love this shit, man.
It gets worse. It gets worse. The truck that we're taking to tow this car back is the baby blue 1960 yes. F-250. But love when I was changing the brake booster the other day, I like disconnected something so it won't start with the key anymore. So in order to start it, you have to pop the hood and then bridge the terminals with a rusty pair of old channel locks and the sparks fly and then it'll start. And yes. it runs fine, but there's no gauges anymore. So you have no idea how hot it is or where the, you know, gas level but the brakes, now that I changed the brake booster, I was like going to check the brakes yesterday, just about put myself through the fucking windshield. The brakes were great. You know, everything else is fucked.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that truck will stop.
You need to, when you take this road trip, you need to put your video cameras on and record this, because the fact that you don't have any dials, there's nothing else. The brakes are the only thing, luckily, that's going on. You've got, this is like Cheech and Chong. This is nuts.
Well, basically, this podcast is goodbye, cruel world. You know, this is it was the last thing he recorded before he died in a fiery wreck. We're stunned at how quickly that truck stopped, but they kept going.
I remember there's a film talking about the Darwin Awards where people have done things in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so fucking funny. There's one particular story about a guy that strapped a jet engine from a plane to his car. And the bit in the film that really made me laugh forever, the guy, they come to investigate how the guy came to die. And so they're testing it and they go, and there's like a skid mark where the guy just burnt out for like a mile and a half or something like that. And it's like 2 mile burnout with this engine. And then he goes, well, you see where the skid marks finish and there's these little pieces of metal, these fragments of metal. He goes, yeah, that's where he left the ground. And then just went into the mountains and just evaporated. That's going to be you. When you hit the brakes, you're just going to evaporate through that windshield.
Cause of death, evaporation. That could happen in the desert, dude. It's already getting so fucking hot here. It's going to be brutal. I have comics reaching out to me about like, oh, let's do a show in June. I'm like, no. We're closed. The season is over. Come back in October.
Where are you? Are you Bisbee, around that way? No.
I'm in Phoenix, so I'm like 3 or 3.5 hours north of Bisbee.
Yeah.
I do have to take a trip down there soon and visit all my people down there. Have you been over here? Have you toured over here?
No, not really. I've been, I went on holiday, on a vacation, sorry. And we did 3 days. It was like 3 days in San Francisco, 3 days in LA, and then 3 days in Vegas, which is no time at all. You don't get a chance to kind of look around. It's kind of in and out. I've gigged in New York. I've gigged in upstate New York. So I've gigged in Poughkeepsie, and I've gigged in Stamford. So I've done bits, but no, I'd love to just go out and spend time. Just go and have a look, because it just is. To me, it's the dream. You know, I don't imagine you would say things like, oh yeah, I can't wait to come over and gig in Telford. It's just,
are you kidding? I fucking love it over there. That's one of the things I think is that when I have a shit gig in Amarillo, I'm like, God, another shit gig in fucking Amarillo or Tulsa or whatever. I don't want to shit on Amarillo. I've had some great gigs there.
Yeah.
But when I'm having a shit gig in Milford Haven, I'm like, I am in Milford Haven. That's a real pheasant. You know, it's a question of what's exotic to you or whatever. You know, they have crisps here. This is like the national delicacy, you know? And every time I'm over in the UK, I almost die by getting hit by a car every time from looking the wrong way and then, you know, crossing the street. I enjoy your delicious wine gums. You know, things like prawn crisps that you can't get over here. The Ribena. So all these, you know, sort of English junk food for me is like heaven.
Yeah.
You know, I always have to bring the black licorice all sorts back for my mom. Oh,
yeah. They are good though, man.
Yeah,
I remember the first time when I was in Poughkeepsie and I'm in my hotel room and I had the TV on, and it was like your ads, you're just getting into a show, and then bang, there's another advert for some kind of cheese in a different form, and then bang, and then you're like, you get to the show again, and then 15 seconds, there's another advert for cheese, but now it's in a can, and you're like, cheese, it's always cheese. It was always cheese. And then I went out to get something to eat, and I went to a place called Friendly's, and I walked in, and then the waitress went, oh, would you like the appetizer menu while you decide what you're going to have? And I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. So I look, and then it was just like burgers and fries, and I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, what's the main menu then? She went, oh, yeah, burgers and fries, but just bigger and more. And I ended up having, I didn't have a bun. I had two grilled cheese sandwiches with a patty in the middle, burger in the middle, and it was one of the best things I've ever eaten. So that's so yeah, the junk food over here is great, but yours is next level, man.
Thank you. I will grudgingly accept that. I feel like Americans have melted cheese or the multiple forms of cheese delivery perfected. You know, junk food is the. I will say this about UK TV. I remember being over there on tour, and I met up with a woman who I'd met her like a couple of times before, and she seemed nice, and we were sort of attracted to each other, but I didn't know what was going to happen, or, you know, I think we like went back to my hotel like before the gig to drop stuff off or something. And we're like in my hotel room, and I was like, are we going to do a thing now? Are we going to have an awkward conversation? Or like, I'm open to anything. And so we just turned on the TV, and it was that game show where they start with the people naked, and it's like a dating show. So turns on the TV, and the first thing that's on there is just a shaved cooter, just right, and a woman talking in sort of like the headmistress stereotypical headmistress like British accent of like, oh, would you like to ask this vagina anything? What's the name of that fucking show?
It's called Naked Attraction. And they have you stood, it's they're stood behind screens and they lift it up like a garage door, so you get like halfway up, and then you can see your bits and pieces, and then they judge. They go, oh, is that? And they have these huge discussions about, is that a nice vagina? Is that a nice set of balls? And then the woman that's hosting it, like, she's very open. She's like, she goes, oh yeah, I like vaginas. I like dick, and you know, I've had both, and I've done this and I've done that. Yeah, it's a crazy show. I know the guy. I know Andy, that is the brains behind it. And yeah, it's a great show. I wouldn't go on it though.
Oh God, No. I mean, my junk just looks like the last Wolverine movie where he's all like just spider veins and scar tissue. Like, that's just seen some shit, man.
Mine look like a vaporized Wookiee. It's just down there.
Yeah, you see these bits of metal right here? That's where he left the road. Dick and balls straight into the mountain.
That's all that's left, man. Just the pelt. So what happened in the room?
I looked at the shaved pussy on the screen, and she looked at it, and we looked at each other, and then that was about it. We fucking got it on, right? I was like, well, all right.
That was all you needed.
Which is good, because I'm glad we didn't linger on that show, because you'll see some guy who like works the the fucking cash register in a department store, which, listen, all jobs have dignity.
But absolutely.
But also, he's looking at this woman's body, and he's like, you know, oh, her labia are kind of weird. You know, I don't like it when the inner labia come out of the outer labia. And I'm like, buddy, you will never have any labia doing anything for you ever again if you don't hashtag yes all labia. Like, fucking the worst it ever is really good. Like, just get in there, you know?
Like, exactly. It was exactly, man. I tell you what, it is funny. There was, did remind me, because, so there was one, and the guy went, I don't like her feet. Her feet are not good. And I was like, yeah, I'd have an issue with that. I like feet, and it would be. I know this is so shallow and so shit, and paints me in a terrible light. But I remember watching Boomerang, the Eddie Murphy movie, and he's in bed, and he kind of, as she's asleep, and he pulls the covers back so he can see her feet, and she's got like these talons, they're just bent up, and he just goes, yee! And you're like, and I'm like, yeah. I was telling him, I'm in a new relationship, and I was just talking to her about it, and she said, so what you're saying is you know that would be a game changer if I had shit feet. I'm like, yeah, that's terrible, isn't it? That's so bad, so bad. Because my feet are horrible. So who am I to say?
It's I actually have voluptuous feet. I have very nice feet. Because as a runner, I'm always like taking care of my feet. Because I'm a guy, I can always wear comfortable shoes and not have to fucking worry about, you know, doing 6 hours wearing a pair of heels or something like that.
But it's
funny because we men are judgmental about women's bodies, and we're at a point in our lives now where we realize that that's shitty. And we got to knock it off.
Yes.
And virtually every woman I know has a type. They have a thing that they're into, whether it's black dudes or skinny dudes or old dudes or dudes with weird veins, you know?
Yeah.
And I always tell them that it's bullshit to have a type, you know, that what matters to me is what's, you know, inside, which is of crucial importance, which is, you know, irreparable emotional damage, you know? That's my kink. That's my Pornhub category.
Listen, I've got a luggage rack just over there. Just bring your luggage through. I'll put it next to mine. We'll be fine.
One of the wheels coming off the trail of change. Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll just lean over this side together. We'll just keep this vehicle going. It's going to be fine. I tell you what, it's funny. Yes. There are women do have a type, and all of us, all human beings, you know, we've all got, we all, on both, on all sides, we all need to work on ourselves. But I think with men, a lot of men will go, oh, I like this and I like that. And like you say, judgmental about a woman's body. But then a lot of men they'll kind of act upon it. They're a bit more aggressive when it comes to that. And that's what we're talking about. That's the conversation we're having. It's like, all right, fair enough. You like different bits and bobs, but it's your behavior around that as well. That's the conversation we're needing to have. It's worldwide, it seems.
I feel like so in America they have this Big Brothers Big Sisters program where, you know, a kid without a lot of sort of parental influence will be assigned an older brother or older sister, and then they sort of go to ball games and, you know, you sort of mentor them. And I feel like we need a program like that with aspiring woke bros with a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because I have a lesbian best friend who's my hiking buddy. We were hiking just about every weekend. And she sort of, when I first moved to Phoenix, she just adopted me. And it has been so eye-opening. It's you don't see what you don't see until somebody points it out to you.
Yeah.
And the part of my prejudice at this point is that I assume that women are better than we are. And I was like, you know, walking, you know, coming down from a hike with my friend, and we were walking, and there was like a Jeep with some, you know, blonde in, you know, tight shorts, bent over, rummaging for something. And I like looked at her amazing ass and immediately averted my eyes, right? Because, you know, And my friend elbowed me in the ribs and she was like, bro, don't even fucking act like you didn't see that. She was like, that was amazing. Are you kidding? She was doing that for us, you know? And I was like, what? We're just all horrible.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about it openly.
Yeah, of course.
And have those, create that space where you can talk about your shortcomings or questions you have, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, I feel like I fail as a podcast host because I'm not asking fucking hardball questions. It's the like Chris Farley school of interviewing where I bring cool people on and I'm like, remember when you did that thing where you talked to the guy about suicide and he like, I remember if you lost your phone or he lost his phone and it prevented you from committing suicide. And that was really cool. You know, hardball question, you know, but I think with a podcast, you really have, you've created a space that's obviously it's dudes talking about dude stuff. It's friendly to men. It's safe for men. And because of that, you bring in a lot of guys and, who can, you create a space where guys feel comfortable letting their guard down and talking about stuff that they wouldn't, you know, talk about otherwise. And also I think people listening are listening because they're like, oh, this is my favorite comic. He has that joke about the dick buffet or whatever. And then they're going to hear that person tell a story about losing their mother and navigating grief, you know, how has it been for you, shepherding those conversations? You know, I mean, you're a friend of mine and you're a comic. So I assume that the inside of your head is fucking chaos.
Yeah. It's funny. Because I've had a lot of comics on that have spoken about things like attempting suicide, talking about self-harming, talking about shit things they've done when they were growing up. And because they're comics, they do it in a funny way. And that's what makes the podcast a bit more of an easy listen. Because we have talked about some really, really, really strong subjects, you know. And it's what I did learn from this was aftercare. People have said to me that they feel comfortable. There's something about me that makes them comfortable enough to open up and tell me things that they might not have spoken about to somebody else, especially someone they don't really know. They just said it's something engaging about me, I'm warm, and they're able to do that. And so,
Badger vibes.
Yeah, you're kind of chilled. You come in there with, when they're talking about stuff, you go, oh, fuck yeah, I've thought that. Oh yeah, I nearly did that. Oh yeah, I went through that.
Yeah.
When you're using your own experiences as a way of kind of, because then they don't feel so exposed. They're like, oh yeah, we've both done these things. So I feel safe now to tell you my story. But what I've learned from it is aftercare. When someone's really opened up, really told you a thing that they've gone through, there's been something horrible to them sexually when they were growing up and they've told you this story. And then afterwards, I remember I saw someone made a joke. It was another comic made a joke going, oh yeah, thanks for letting me open up on your podcast. And then I just go about my day now. And it was a joke. It wasn't about me. He'd been on another podcast. But I just went, oh yeah, that was it. And he went, oh yeah, and you paid me in a glass of water. And you're like, ah, shit, yeah. I hadn't thought about that before. You've invited them into this space. You've got them to open up. And then you've gone, all right, thanks for coming. That's really, really appreciate that. Hopefully someone will get something from that. Bye. And then they're sort of left with their innards, just hanging out like in, I don't know, like in Platoon or something like that, just there. They're just like, now what? And then you fucked off to go and talk to the next guy. And now they have to scoop their innards up and put them back in and put the lids back on the boxes of all the things they've just opened up to tell you about. And so now I kind of message people afterwards. I go, listen, dude, thanks, man. I really appreciate that and the story you told. Are you all right? You cool? Are we cool? Is everything fine? And learning how to talk about these things, but then remembering that these are people, these are human beings, and you have to kind of put the comedy to one side and go, hey, man, listen, I appreciate you reaching out and saying that stuff, and I hope you're cool, and if I can help you with anything, if you want to chat further, then hopefully, I'm here. And it's Yeah, that's I've learned how to communicate better with people.
It's to follow with the platoon model. It's coming back and putting a cigarette in their mouth and lighting it for them. You know,
instead of
just moving on. I feel that, man. I'm doing a podcast next week, and it's sort of like a very serious, you know, sobriety recovery podcast. Mm. So we're going to talk about like the dark shit, and I'm going to plug my new book. And it feels so weird that I'm going to sort of go on this podcast and try to speak openly, but elliptically about an experience that I had that fucked me up. It's still fucking me up, that, you know, really sort of changed my life. It feels like it changed my brain permanently. And then at the end, I'm going to plug, here's my Venmo, here's my PayPal, you know, and that's the nature of our business, is that we try to have genuine friendships, to have genuine relationships, to have genuine connection. And then also there's part of it that always has to be transactional, you know, that, and I don't know, drag the fucking thing screaming out from under the bed and into the sunlight and talk about it, you know? And then, cause everybody's got fucking bills to pay and shit that they got to do. Man. And also we're all head cases, you know, when you were talking about self-care for, or the aftercare for, you know, the people you have on the podcast, I was like, well, who's doing it for you?
I'm lucky that I have producer Paul, and producer Paul's brilliant at this. He's really kind of, he's such a great guy to talk to, because he's very kind of, I take the piss and say, he's like, you know, he's like a robot. But he's really good. He just goes, no, it's fine, mate. It's fine. Well done. You've done a good job there. It's really cool. Well done. I've also got family. I've got my sons. I've got a partner. And it's nice that I've got people around me that I can go, if I've had a heavy one, and go, man, I got told this today. And they're like, shit. Yeah, okay. And I've got people around. I'm very lucky to have that. It's very cool. But going back to what you were saying about, you know, yeah, you're going to go on the podcast and you're going to tell your story, and you're going to tell a story that it's going to be, it's a heavy duty thing that, like you say, has changed who you are. That's how heavy it is. But then you're going to open up and go, look, I've got this. Can you pay for this? Can you pay for that? I've got a book coming out, blah, blah. But you're not using the story to make money. Like, you're not like banks at the minute. They're going, oh yeah, we need to do more for mental health. We're doing this thing to shine a light on mental health. I'm Jeff Bezos, and I'm going to talk about mental health. And you're like, no, you're exploiting. What you're doing is exploiting. What you're doing is, you're not doing that. What you're doing is telling a story that will benefit others who have been through a similar thing. And sadly, there's going to be a lot of people that would have gone through a similar thing that you did. And that's what you're doing. And then on top of that, but at the same time, you're going, but yeah, but I still, you know, I'm a performer. I'm this, I'm that. I just need a couple of dollars. I just need something. I just need the book bought, so then I can just keep food on the table. I can keep this. I can keep bringing you the entertainment that you love me to do. So it's different. It's different, man. And I think people appreciate that. They can see the bullshit when it's these big corporations. A friend of mine works with Bank of America, and they fucked him. They really fucked him. And then the next breath you see this week it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. You go, you piece of shit, absolute piece of shit. So what you're doing is different. It's different, but it's beautiful that you still question that. Like, and that's what sets you apart from the other pieces of shit, is that you question it. If you didn't question it, then that would be the difference.
I guess I feel like a grifter or something when I ask for money. But I am selling a thing. You know, and I was thinking about this. You know, the BP logo, right? It's green, and they did a test, and people think, they actually think that because BP has a green logo, that it's not fucking crude oil pulled out of the ground by fracking, poisoning groundwater. And it's not, you know, like, it's the same shit. It's just a fucking PR campaign.
Exactly.
You know?
That took there was a whole board meeting where they had everybody in, they had the shareholders involved, and they just went, right, how can we make this socially acceptable where people will think, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy that fuel because that fuel, oh, that's better for the environment. It's green. Well, I mean, what, you know, it's great, man, of course. It's like all this shit about electric cars and stuff. And I think it's in Denmark or somewhere where they're like, wherever it is, it's somewhere like that. It's illegal to advertise any kind of car as a green, good for the planet vehicle because there's no such thing. Doesn't exist. Because even if you're doing it, the fact that the car exists means that somewhere something happened to the planet for that to exist on any level. And that's, so that's what I'm saying. It's evil. It's evil the way that corporations try to make us think that they're doing good. It's fucking evil, man.
Is this a good time to point out that that my truck probably gets about 6 miles to the gallon, and Jeff Bezos wrote the foreword for my book?
Really?
I'm a fraud. I'm a huckster.
Hey, Jeff. Sorry, man.
He's in the other room. He's making
coffee. He'll be fine.
He's gonna have you murdered with a truckload of money. They're just gonna drop it on you.
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, do it, Jeff. I'll be fine. Yeah, all of a sudden I'm like, do you know what, Amazon, they're just the greatest thing. BP, man. Oh yeah, buy that stuff. It's really good for the planet. Listen, we're all on all levels, we're all trying to get by. We're all blagging it. It's survival, isn't it? We're animals fundamentally, and we are just trying to survive.
Yeah.
But some of us are doing it in a more harsh way than others. You know, I think on our level, we don't want to damage anybody. We want to, for anything, we want to bring everyone together with what we do.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there's a difference between, you know, that you and I are maybe we're presenting a stake, you know, which is, you know, it's good for you, and also there's parts of it that aren't good for you. But it's steak, it's meat, as opposed to like a sausage where you look at the ingredients and you're like, there's no meat. There's not even any food in here. There's just not even not meat. It's just not, there's nothing organic here.
When they say pork flavor.
Yeah. It's just like spun plastics and sand, you know,
wrapped in an old sock, and you're like, come on, all right. Yeah.
I think that's what I'm going to eat next. I'm fucking starving. They say there are two wolves inside of each person, and both of mine are super hungry.
Oh, shit, man. Well, let's get this done, and you can get out on the road.
But we still have so much shit to cover.
Man.
One of the things that I need to ask you for so that you don't bring it up on your own is how can people support you? How can these last 2 years have been harder on people in the arts and performers and minority communities and the people who are getting fucked by capitalism anyway, the big squeeze has, you know, just drowned this lower echelon out of existence entirely. Mm. But how can people support you with what you're doing? Where do they find you? You know, where can they find the podcast? Obviously, do you have a Patreon?
It's all up. The podcast is on every podcast platform, so it's on Acast and wherever you'll find it. It's worldwide. It's on all of the platforms. We've also got Patreon, which is patreon.com/membranepodcast, and you get exclusive we put videos up of the recordings that we do for the Patreons. We also do you get the episode up earlier than everybody else, so you can have it up front, and we just ask, you know, just a few pounds just to keep us going. We're not greedy. It does help us keep doing the podcast because, you know, we've got a studio here that we have to keep going and travel to and from the podcast and getting people on, and everything we make goes back into the podcast. So we're not flying into town on, you know, helicopters and things like that. You know, that's so patreon.com/membranepodcast. That's where you could help.
Producer Paul needs a new pair of trainers.
Yeah, man, he's just bought some, so he's fine. He's fine for another 10 years.
How old are you? I feel like you and I are about the same age.
I've just turned 50.
Okay. Congratulations, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
The 1 year closer to death. So, I have. I've had these like two weird experiences where I was at the grocery store and there were two like attractive young women and they were sort of like looking at me and talking to each other. And I was like, oh yeah, fucking old guys still got it, you know? And then I like closed the door to the refrigerator and saw my reflection. And I was in like, you know, like the stained undershirt with like, I'm sober, but I still have a beer belly and like that you're wearing like, you know, Crocs or flip flops or something like that. Like my hair just, and I was like, what happened? What the fuck, man? Like I they're not laughing at me like, oh, he's cute. They're laughing at me like, does he sleep under a bridge? You know? It's like, I'm past the expiration date. I'm spoiled milk, you know? And then also I had this experience where I've been working with a writing student, mentoring her, and she's young and attractive. She's in her late 20s, early 30s. And we were doing a thing where she would turn in a piece of writing and then, you know, we talk about, and we would sort of have a Zoom call once a week and, you know, talk about that. And in the course of, you know, writing is an expression of the self and how you engage with your life and what's happening to you. So we've talked about some personal stuff and whatnot. And she just got into, I helped her, you know, sort of get her, I wrote her a letter of recommendation and helped her with her materials for applying to graduate school. And she just got into Columbia, the best writing program in the world. And she got a big scholarship.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
And it was, that came at on a day when I was having like a real shit day. Mm. And it made me realize that at no part in my communication with her, in my relationship with her, was there ever anything sleazy or manipulative or there was no innuendo, you know, in her work, you know, we're talking about sexually explicit situations. And one of the things that I said was, your characters have no erotic life. And it's like seeing Elvis perform on TV from the waist up. Like we know there's something there that you're hiding. Like, sexual desire and, you know, that's normal. That's part of the human existence. If you just cut off that part of the bandwidth, it feels false, you know? Yeah. So write about sex or the absence of sex, you know, and I realized in that moment that like, I'm super hard on myself, but that in that relationship with that student, sort of getting, working with her up to applying for graduate school, that I'm finally tapping into a different energy than I did when I was a young man, where, you know, where I was like, hey lady, you want a tour of the van, you know? And it's different for you because you have children and you've had to embrace the daddy part of your life and the daddy part of who you are a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I feel like at this point in my life, I'm starting to move into the professor in the corduroy blazer with the elbow patches, man. Or, do you feel that? Cause I think that's one of the things that we're talking about too, is the power of an older guy, to do good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To not be a fucking creep, to be a friend, to stop somebody and be like, hey, you know, hang on, your lights out, and not be like, here's my number, to just do a fucking good thing, you know?
Yeah, man. This is the thing that I've learned now. Where I was younger, and it was pointed out to me I was in a relationship with somebody, but if there were other women in the room, I kind of like, I wanted them all to kind of, I needed affirmation from everybody. Yep. And she'd say like, she goes, you always, You just have to try and get every woman in the room to go, oh yeah, you're cool. And I knew in my head, I'm like, how can I get this person to like me or tell me I'm great or tell me I'm this or that? And then suddenly when you get older, you're like, just be you. If you're just you, people are going to like you anyway. And now you can kind of, you can be honest about how your behaviors were in the past. You can turn around and go, oh yeah, I was a bit of a dick. Like, I was in a relationship with this person and then I didn't know how to, I wasn't feeling it, but I met someone else and then I was kind of seeing both. And it's not like notches on the bedpost. Look at me, I'm a fucking dude. I've got two ladies that are interested in me. I was in this with shit and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't want to upset anybody. I ended up upsetting everybody because I was a dick. I was a coward and I didn't face up to it. But now you're able to talk about that and you go, look, this is what I should have done. And this is how I should have been. And I'm, you know, and now you can pass that knowledge on to people. You can kind of go, look, I've been a bit of a dick. And now, but from that, people are now looking at you going, they have a respect for you. They kind of, and you're not trying to get the attention of the of women or whoever, or men or whoever. You're there, you're just being you, and you're being a classy dude, and you're not trying to go, hey, come and look at the van. You're like, hey, listen, you good? You all right? Can I help you with anything? You're fine. And people find that attractive. That's, and so you suddenly realize, oh shit, yeah, if I'd have just been myself, I could have cut out a lot of shit from long ago. So now, because you haven't got, because the demon has kind of subsided a little bit, you're more at peace with who you are, and you're a bit more cool, a bit more chilled out. And people find that attractive. That's why people find older dudes attractive, because we're not the monster going, oh yeah, I need to fucking touch this woman. I need to touch this man. How am I going to manipulate this so I can touch them? And now you're kind of like, hey man, yeah, cool. Yeah. Let's hang out. Let's have a beer. Yeah, whatever. And that's where you're at now. You kind of, the beast is chilled, and that's what's attractive. And I feel better now than I've ever done in my entire life. I just feel me is great.
When I was 22, I was so terrified of getting this old, of being age, of looking the way that you and I look, and and having my sex drive die off, and ceasing to be seen as sexually viable by the outside world. And I'll tell you what, man, to have the sex drive like taper off, it feels like I've been dragged by a fucking team of horses for 30 years, and finally the rope broke.
Yeah.
And I could like stand up and be like, holy shit, man, that was a fucking, that was a wild ride. Wow.
Yourself off. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. I can't believe
the you fuck want to go get coffee? There. Like,
that was nuts.
And then you think about situations you've been in, maybe things you've said. I mean, I'm painting a terrible picture of myself. You know, I've never sexually assaulted anyone. It's not been that, but you kind of, you know, there's things that you say, kind of manipulating the conversation around to sort of sex, or do you know what I mean? When you're a bit, you've had a few drinks and you're kind of like, oh, so anyway, so what, you know, the conversation of like, oh, what are you into sexually? You know, that sort of thing. And no, I just want to find out, man. I just want to find out. You know, that now you're in a place, like you say, you've gone, I'm so fucking glad that guy's gone. He was exhausting and he didn't know when to leave. And now he's gone. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, taking a breather now. Whew.
Yes, and one of the things that I grew up with this perception my whole life that the boys are gross and girls are nice, and that boys are sort of have cooties, and that, you know, that boys are perverts, and you know, I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of listening to a group of women talk about sex when they don't realize that you're listening. They're fucking disgusting.
Oh man. They some of the biggest perverts I've ever met.
Filthy. I was on tour once. I think I was in Sacramento, and met up with a woman, went back to my hotel room. I couldn't figure out what was going on, like if there was anything happening. So I was just like, all right, we'll just chat. And then nothing happened. And then she was like, all right, well, you know, I guess I'm going to leave. And I was like, okay, you know, and I went to get food, and I was like, oh, you know, I was like, you know, nice to meet you. You know, oh, it's kind of weird. We've been talking for, you know, chatting on months for on Instagram or chatting for months on Instagram. I kind of thought something was going to happen. And she was like, oh yeah, I was waiting for you to like grab me and throw me down on the bed. And I was like, that will never happen to like with a straight, if it's somebody I know well, you're still going to sign a release form. You know, the it's like with Paul, I had to do the thing. You have permission to record, you know, they're like, yeah, no, that's never going to happen.
Nah.
What you're describing, being a young man with an appetite for sex, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I'm going through the same thing myself of self-recrimination and being like, oh man, I was such a creep. I was such a sleaze. I think too, though, there needs to be an element of acceptance that part of that is being a man, and part of that is being a young man, and part of that is just being young. Yeah. That I think, you know, every human being has done something where they were motivated by or driven by sex that then they wake up the next morning and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, the, so I think it's a good, I think we're in a good place now with it to say, I like getting a hug and going home to my bed to sleep with my cat, you know, but also that we need to, I don't know, forgive ourselves a little bit for behaviors that fall under the umbrella of normal human shittiness.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the thing. And we had a moment where everybody was trying to find something on everybody, trying to go, oh, yeah, you did that thing. And you go, and then when you break it down, you go, no, that was just a clumsy date. That just didn't go to plan. That wasn't... That wasn't sexual assault on either side. That was, you know, because like you said, on all sides, human beings have done all manner of things. I was talking to a female comic at the weekend, and she said, she was telling me a story about, she was in a town, she didn't have enough money for a hotel, so she was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just hook up with a guy, I'll just stay at his, and that'll just save me on a hotel. And I just went, are you kidding? She went, yeah. She goes, lots of people do that. I'm like... Yeah, but,
I've done that.
But you're like, yeah, but you're like, the difference is, I don't know, maybe it's just my ignorance. Maybe, I don't know. And I was like, but you could have been murdered. And it's like, yeah, but if you did it, you could have been murdered. I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Like, you could have been murdered, man.
There's more than one relationship that I've had where I'm stunned that it didn't end with me getting stabbed.
Yeah, true. same.
Multiple times, you know, and I'm proud to say that I've had more violence perpetrated against me than I've perpetrated against other people.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
I spoke at a meeting of, it was, the Satanic Temple, their sober group. And it was awesome. It was so cool. Their seven traditions are really cool. And, you know, I really had a great time. But one of the things that was so great for me about it was a lesbian and a trans woman asked me some really hard questions about my book and how I wrote about it and who I was then and who I am now. And they, you know, they were like, some of us really struggled to get through this book or to find anything meaningful in it because the stuff that you talk about doing and you know, what you describe, is reprehensible. And frankly, we found you to be a little bit of an asshole. And I was sort of like, only a little bit, I wrote all that. I put all that in there.
Yeah.
Like I made the decision to show that, to share that, to reveal that, so that hopefully you can perceive that I've made a little bit of progress since then. But, you know, like those road gigs, I feel like some of the bad behavior of our youth is necessary because, like, I'm really glad that I'm not driving 6 hours today to Pensacola.
Yeah.
And I'm also really glad that I'm not waking up to somebody I don't know. You know, and I don't know, I guess I'm just trying to say a few words sort of in praise of experience and getting old and making mistakes that I think, I mean, one of the things that I see in you is that it's context that you are able to be as grateful as you are for where you are now from having lived some of the other shit and seen some of the other shit.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's on both sides. We're human beings, and human beings make mistakes all the time. Our every waking moment is a decision. We're always making decisions. Just, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go that way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to fuck up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do the wrong thing. And that's on all sides. That's all genders. That's everybody. Regardless of whether you're sex, whether you're gay, straight, trans, whatever, you're going to fuck up. But with what you need to do, the difference is you learn from that. And I think one of the biggest things to show that how much you've learned is to just go to look back and go, I have been an arsehole. I've been an arsehole in my time. I've also done some fucking amazing things. I've done some incredible things. I've also been a fucking asshole. And you have to acknowledge that, and that's all part of growing as a human being, is to acknowledge the shit side and the good side. And that's what we all need to be doing. But at the moment, it seems everyone's going, ah, you were a piece of shit. You shouldn't have a career. You shouldn't do this. You know, well, you've been a piece of shit. Who are you to judge me? I know you fucked up as well. But you're part of the mob and you're going, ah, you're shit. You're like, no, you're shit too. But no one's talking about the shit bits. Everyone wants to be seen as like, oh, no, I've lived a holy life. I've done this. I've been nothing but pure. And you go, you're full of shit and you're worse than I am right now for not acknowledging your shit bits. That's, you know.
One of the things that, like with my writing workshop, we have a very short period of time to cover the entire length and breadth of the human existence, you know, so that one of the things that I do, you know, in my first class is I stand up and I say, everybody look around. No, really, look around. Make eye contact with the other people around you. Everybody here has pissed their pants. Everybody here has shit their pants.
Yeah.
We all carry horrible secrets. We've all done things we feel deeply ashamed about.
Fuck,
all
right. Yeah.
It's weakness is what binds us together as human beings. And it's, we can't deny its existence. We have to acknowledge it and let it be a source of connection instead of, oh, let's not talk about that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. In order to grow and be better human beings, and then a better example to the people that are trying to learn from us now. Because you do look up to the elders, don't you? Down the centuries, since the beginning of humankind, we look up to the elders because they've lived, they've experienced more. And so we are in a position now where we can help the younger people coming through going, yeah, listen, I did that. It's not a great thing, but don't worry. As long as you're looking at it and going, oh, fuck, yeah, that behavior was a bit shit. You know, when we've taken drugs and we've drunk too much and we've ended up running naked around the city and banging your cock against the car and whatever you're doing. We've all done that.
That was very specific, Rich.
Yeah, it was that one time in Portsmouth. But it's taking the things that we've experienced and then working them all out, sifting through it and then just put it in a place where we can then teach the younger people to go, hey, listen, I did that. This is how I got through that. This is how I made sure I didn't do that again. It's the same with like you spoke, there was an episode I listened to your podcast. I can't remember the guest. I can't remember his name. I'm really, truly sorry. But you were talking about sexual abuse as mm-hmm. when you were kids. And you were talking about something that's I can't remember his name. Fuck, I was only listening to it the other day. He was talking about something that happened to him.
Oh, Scott Comer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's great.
Man alive. But what was wonderful about it on both sides, both of you were talking about these things that have happened to you and how you've managed to kind of get your head around what's happened, kind of put it in a position where you can go to turn around to other people and go, look, this happened to me. This is how I dealt with this. And that just comes from opening up to you, looking at yourself, looking at your good bits and your bad bits. And now you're in a position to go, this has happened to me. I recognize this happened to you. This is how I dealt with it. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but we're the elder statesmen now. We're the elder guys turning around going, I see your pain. I see where it's coming from. It's not going to last forever. This is what I did to get through that. We got it. Wait,
I think you're actually doing right now exactly what you're suggesting that people do, which is talk it out.
Yes.
Just
talk it
out. Just,
yeah.
I don't know where this is going. I don't know where this is going. I'm just going to keep talking. This thing happened and then this thing happened. And I need to share I need to share this story with this person and I don't know why, but let's try and let's see. And through the process, I'll figure it out and hopefully you'll get something out of it as well, you know?
Exactly. And that's what I was listening to you guys chatting, talking about what had gone on. And I really got that. It was like, yeah, exactly that. You hit the nail on the head and it's exactly it. Yeah. You don't know where it's going to go, but at least have the conversation. At least put it out on the table. Yeah, man. Oh, God. I get lost sometimes. I'm like, I know what I'm trying to say, but I don't have the tools to say it. And I don't really know.
You were doing the thing that you were trying to put your finger on. The Rich, I love you so much, dude.
I love you too, man.
It's been so good to talk to you, to see your face again. We should do this more often than once every 3 years.
I'd love that, man. I'd really like this to be a recurring thing.
Absolutely. We should check in, you know, once every 2.5 years or something.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Absolutely, man.
Yeah. Love you, Rich. Take care, brother.
Love you too, man. Take care.
All right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.